Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Do you all have a good day today? Praise the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean everything had to go just right and perfect for you to have a good day. I mean, you know, a lot of things can go wrong. Things can happen and things not work the way they're supposed to. Some mechanical things might not always work as they supposed to, but we could still know that we have the victory, right? Though we go through troubles, trials, and tests in life, they don't make us bitter. They just make us better. We just get better with every difficulty in life, because us having a good life isn't, it does not depend upon what's going on around us. It's all about what's going on in you. What's going on in the inside of you. And you don't have to let what's going on around you affect what's going on in you. Like I like to say, no matter what goes wrong, I won't. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, you feel it. You ever feel like going wrong? That doesn't mean you went wrong just because you felt wrong. But, you know, in the world, there's temptations. Have you ever been tempted to go wrong? Yeah. So as soon as I even any kind of sign of being tempted to go wrong, I'll say that out of my mouth. I'll say, now, no matter what goes wrong, I don't. Because you going wrong usually has to do with something going wrong around you, right? That tempts you to go wrong. But we're not going to go wrong because things are going wrong around us. We're going to allow what's going wrong around us to allow us to exercise, to work out, right? So we have some adversity in life. Praise God. Put some more weights on. Here we go. The heavier it gets, the stronger you get. So our faith is getting stronger. Did you have an opportunity to work out today? Yes. Glory to God. Everybody goes to the gym whether they like it or not. I just want you to know you all got memberships. You all got. If you're in this world, you got a membership. You got a spiritual membership to a spiritual gym. And we're getting stronger. No matter how dark it gets in the world, we're getting stronger. Happy to know it is getting dark outside, right? And I'm not just talking about because what time it is tonight. I'm talking about spiritually. It's getting dark. It's getting darker and darker outside. And the Bible tells us, lets us know ahead of time that that's the way it's going to happen in the last days. As we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus, it's going to get darker and darker. And we see that over in Isaiah chapter 60. So here we are. Isaiah 6 is the prophet Isaiah. Several hundred years before even Jesus came, and he's seen as a prophet, he's seeing into the future. God is showing him things to come. And so what he's writing about here, of course, number one, it is talking about the Messiah. It's coming, talking about Jesus and his coming and what he would be like. Then also it's talking about Jerusalem, the city of God. And yet, also, we know it's talking about us as believers, because the New Testament calls Christians, believers, God's city made up of living stones. And then, of course, we are the body of Christ. So this talks about Christ, and we're the body of Christ, so it's talking about us also. So yes, it's talking about Jesus, yes, it's talking about Jerusalem, and yes, it's talking about you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a member of the body of Christ. So let's look at it. It says in verse 1, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Now the glory of God, as we've talked about, is, and I think this is a great definition, it's what the Spirit of God gave me as I study in the Word, The glory of God is the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. It's all that He is and all that He has in manifestation. And our God is a big God, right? He's a big God. He's a powerful God. He doesn't lack any resource, right? He doesn't lack any resources. If you need something from, if you need something in life, God's got it. It's all in Him. He's God. If He doesn't have it, He can make it, right? He can cause it to happen. If it needs to happen, He can cause it to happen, correct? He's a big God. So the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty, all that He is, all that He has, is tremendous. It's tremendous. It's unlimited what we're talking about here when we're talking about the glory of God. And of course, the grace of God is the glory of God freely bestowed upon us. So in Christ Jesus, we have access now to the glory of God. We've been restored to the glory of God. So say this with me. Say, all that God is, all that He has, is mine. Simply because I believe in Jesus. I've put my trust in Him. You put your trust in Him, you've given Him your life, and God has given you all of Him. What an exchange. You give all of you, and God gives all of Him. Right? What an exchange. Praise God. Why would you want to hold back anything from God? Give it to Him. Because the more you can give of yourself to Him, the more of Him you can receive. So you see, people aren't walking in much of God because they hold on to so much of themselves. And as long as we're clinging to ourselves, clinging to our feelings and our thoughts and our opinions and so forth and so on, as long as we're clinging to that, we're missing all of Him. And so we're struggling through life, trying to get through this thing, trying to get through the day, and we're struggling and struggling in our own selves, in our own strength, depending and trusting in ourselves or trusting in other people, putting all our trust in others, that they're gonna come through for me. And then when they don't come through, it's a tough situation. Then you got resentment, you got bitterness, you got anger. We're not to be putting pressure on people and depending on people. People are weak. People are limited. But God is almighty. And we were created to trust in Him, to lean on Him, and to look to Him to meet every one of our needs in life. We've got to trust in God. And so that's what we're to be doing as Christians, growing in our faith, which is growing in our dependence upon God, growing in our trust in Him. And the more you trust in Him, the more you are surrendering yourself to Him. You check all your opinions with Him. You check all your feelings with Him. You say, how do I do that? He's given you His Word. And His Word reveals Him. And so you check your opinions or the opinions of others with the... Now, what does the Word say about that? Because the Word has the answer. Because God has the answer, right? And He's given us His Word to teach us about Him. And so He has all the answers. The answers are in the Word. You know, the Bible isn't just like some kind of school textbook, you know, that some natural human author penned. This is the Word of God, which means it's deep. It's deep. It's not just superficial. It's not just letters. There are things in there. There is truth in there that are hidden. And the Bible talks about this in the New Testament. There is hidden wisdom within the Word of God. The Word goes as deep as God is. So you can never get to a place where you get so deep in God where I can't find it in the Word. I'm too deep. I'm deeper than the word. No matter how deep you go, the word goes deeper. So there's truth in there. So it's amazing how you can read something in the word of God and then you grow a little bit spiritually, you grow in your faith, you go back and read some of those same things you've already read, you thought in your mind that you exhausted that, I mean, you have it memorized, you understand it so well, and yet you go in there from a different place spiritually, from a more mature place as a Christian, and all of a sudden, you see something you never saw before. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? You get in that word and you see things you never saw before. You cannot exhaust the word of God. Never think, oh yeah, I read the Bible. Read it some more. Keep growing spiritually and keep feeding on the word of God. Keep feeding your spirit the truths of God's word. And you're just going to see more and more and more. So keep growing spiritually and you'll see more things. How many people need to see more things? Thank God, we got the answer in the Word. So we check in with the Word on everything. We always come back to, well, what does the Word say about that? Because the answer's in there. Well, should I be acting this way? Should I be feeling this way? Is this how I'm to respond to this? How do I respond to this situation? It's in the Word. And the Word is training us. It's training us how to move and live and operate in life so that we can get the best out of life so we can live a successful life. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be efficient. He wants you to be productive. He doesn't want you to be a failure. And with Him, you'll never be a failure. Trust in yourself, trust in others, you'll fail. You will fail. Trust in God, you won't fail. So the less we trust in ourselves, the more successful we're going to be in life. Hallelujah. Now, you can't just not trust in yourself. You have to replace that with someone else, and that's Him. Trust in Him. Trust in God, and you will be a success in life. Everybody say, more of God, less of me. That's right. So we want less of ourselves. We want to be filled and filled with Him. And you know, that's one of the things that happens too. You get revelation from God's Word. You see things about God that you've never seen before, and what happens? Immediately, it's more of Him. He lights up, it's more of Him, and there's less of you. And that's faith. Faith comes by, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So you're hearing the Word of God. What's coming? Faith in God. What's that? Total dependency and trust in Him. So we get in the Word, we get revelation, and what happens? Less dependency on us, more dependency on Him. We get more revelation. Less dependency on us, more dependency on Him. Which means what? Greater success. An easier life. Even when things aren't going and getting easier around you, life is still getting easier for you. Because of how you're responding to things. You're having all kinds of trials. That's not going to change. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He lets you know that up front. Right? So that, you know, that's not, you don't get saved and all of a sudden now you don't get flat tires and things don't break down and there's never any problems anymore. I think a lot of people get that kind of idea. You know, all of a sudden they have some trials, tests, things are still going wrong. They think, I don't understand this. What did I do wrong? Where are you, God? In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But the good news is we're growing in our faith so that even though we're going through a trial, the trials aren't in us. You could be in a trial, but it not have a trial in you. You could have peace and joy in you. You can have laughter. Joy is laughter. You can have laughter on the inside of you through any kind of trial in life. You can have peace in the midst of the storm. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be fretful. We don't have to be worried. Because all those things lead to real bad things. And they cause us to be weighted down in life. We don't have to be weighted down with the cares of life. Jesus said that. He said, watch that your hearts are not weighted down with the cares of life. He didn't say, watch that you have no cares in life. You're going to have cares, but don't be weighted down with the cares. Take the cares to him. Trust him with the cares because he cares for you. Somebody say, God cares for me. So I don't have to carry cares. See, you have cares, but you don't have to carry them. You cast your cares. You don't say, I don't have any cares. No, you have cares, but you cast them. You roll them over onto him. And there's my cares, but they're in the hands of Jesus. See, I have cares, I'm just not carrying them. Jesus is. That's exciting. Jesus is carrying my cares. There they are, right there. He's got them. Hi, Jesus. How's those cares come along? You got it covered? Awesome. Thank you. And you're open to his instruction. He'll tell you what to do. He'll lead you and guide you to get these things sorted out and fixed up. But listen, let's learn to enjoy the journey. You can enjoy the journey when Jesus is your Lord. No matter what's going on, no matter what kind of road you're journeying down. It could be a paved road. It could be a pothole-filled road, dirt road. It could be a road that nobody's even blazed yet. You got to blaze the trail. But Jesus is with you. He's got the cares, so there's no worries. Worries is what makes life wearisome. Worries make life wearisome. Not cares. Worries. That's what makes life tough. Worries, fear, caring about what other things, everybody else thinks, caring about, are we going to get through this? Do we have enough money? Do we have it? It's the worry. That's what makes life weary. It's not really the problem. It's how you believe. It's how you think in your heart. So, oh, thank God for revelation. Thank God for revelation of God. When you understand this, man, you run to the Bible. Man, you get in and say, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Open the eyes of my understanding. Flood me with light. Help me to see, because if I can see you as you really are, then right then, I will have faith, I will be trusting in you, and trusting less in me. And oh, what peace that brings. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, you think about yourself a lot, it's depressing. You ever notice that about yourself? You're a depressing mess. You might as well face that. Don't focus on you. You focus on you, you're going to find something wrong. Trust me. Trust me. Just ask your neighbor if they can find something wrong with you. Your neighbor can always find something wrong with you very easily. Right? Your neighbor can always find something wrong with you. So if you have a problem, ask your neighbor. Ask Margaret. Margaret can always tell you what's wrong with you. Isn't that right? Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Somebody say, I'm looking for revelation light. All right. Well, let's look here again at Isaiah 60. He says, arise and shine, for your light has come. The word shine means to be or become light, to be illuminated. To become lightened up, set on fire. Ooh, I like that. So he says, arise and shine. Everybody say shine. What does that mean? That means to become light. To become light. To be illuminated. Now, of course, when we're talking about illumination and understanding, well, we're talking about understanding. We're talking about illumination. We're not just talking about a natural physical glow, although there's a truth to that. There is a glow of God's glory. But also, we're talking about illumination. We're talking about being able to see things, to understand things. So we need this light, but not only do we need light, we need to become light, because that's what happens when you see, when you receive a revelation from God. Remember, Psalm 119, verse 120 says, the entrance of thy word brings light, and gives understanding to the simple. Notice that light and understanding go together in that verse. Light and understanding. So when you get light, you get understanding. And of course, it's God's word entering you. And when God's word enters you and lights you up, you literally don't just have light, but you become light. You become one with the word. You become what the word is. See, we're not just to be doing God's word. We're to be manifesting God's word. We're to be one with God, one with the truths of his word, so that the word is just flowing out of us. It's a part of us. It's a part of who we are now. That's what it means. When a person is born again, when the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of you, you're one spirit with God now. You're one with him. You don't just have God's word written on stone or written on paper. Now, God's commandments are in our hearts. God's word is in our heart. How many people have asked Jesus into your heart? All right. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the Word made flesh. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've asked him into your heart. Then you've asked the Word into your heart. So God's word is on the inside of you. Now we get over in the written word. We put ourselves in position to hear from God, to listen to him. And what happens? All of a sudden, the written word lights up the living word that we're a part of, that is a part of us, that we're one with. And that's revelation. And suddenly, that light is you. It always was you. You just didn't know it. But now, it's shining. It's shining. Man, there's so much light in us. Now, we need to cause that light to shine. We need to become illuminated with the truth of God's word, with the truth of who he is in us. Not just who he is in creation, but who he is in you. As a believer, as a child of God, the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. And we need to have illumination. Hold your place here and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul the apostle praying for the church at Ephesus. Now, of course, everything he did by the Spirit of God. Because all the writers of the Bible were holy men of God, yielded to the Spirit of God. That's why I like to say the Bible has many writers, but one author. And that author is God. It's not a human author. Human writers, but not a human author. God's the author of the Bible. What a supernatural book it is. Written over the course of thousands of years. Some of the books in the Bible are thousands of years apart. And yet it all flows together so supernaturally in perfect harmony with each other. All the scriptures flow together. Such an awesome supernatural book. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 1, he says in verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. The Bible has a lot to say about the glory. Like I said, the Bible is the story of the glory. It's all about the glory of God. This is what Jesus came to reconnect us to. This is what he died to rejoin us to, the glory of God. So here he says, he's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Notice this prayer that he's praying by the Spirit of God for the church. That verse 18, that their eyes, the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Again, we're talking about illumination, being enlightened, being able to see things. This is all part of that word in Isaiah 60, shine. It means to be illuminated, to be enlightened. So he's saying to us, arise and be enlightened. Arise and be enlightened. Now let's go back up here for a moment and look at the word arise. What does it mean? It means to rise up, stir up. Now this is in the actual original Hebrew language. The word means rise up, stir up, come on the scene, become powerful, persist. So we're to arise and shine. We're to stir up and shine. Now, when I think of stir up, of course, I think of 2 Timothy chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul told Timothy, and of course, what was good for Timothy is good for you and I, just like what's good for the church at Ephesus is good for you and I, right? So if Paul, by the Spirit, prayed for the church at Ephesus that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that's a prayer we could pray for ourselves and pray for one another today, for the church at Louisville. We could pray for one another that our eyes, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. Illuminate me. Cause me to see great and wonderful things concerning your word. Light me up. Light me up. Illuminate me. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, and also it's the Holy Spirit saying to us today, chapter 1, verse 5. Let's just go to verse 6. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, people have received the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. See, most people here have. And that's one of the main ways people receive the Holy Spirit today is through the laying on of hands. So we know Paul's saying, stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Paul was responsible for bringing Timothy into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and then laid hands on him. He received the Holy Spirit. And now he's telling him, stir it up. Stir up what's on the inside of you. Man, we got so much on the inside of us. We got to stir it up. Somebody say, God's on the inside of me. We got to stir it up. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Fear is a spiritual paralysis. Fear keeps people from rising up, keeps people in a place where they're not going anywhere. They're just paralyzed, immovable. He's saying, don't let fear hold you back. That's why a lot of people are lazy in life. If you ever dealt with laziness, then you were dealing with fear. Fear is at the root of laziness. That's why Proverbs 26, verse 13 says, the lazy man says, this is what the lazy man says. He says, there's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. What in the world has that got to do with anything? That's what it says. Proverbs 26, 13. The lazy man says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion is in the streets. What's it saying there? It's saying the lazy man is afraid of something. That's why he's lazy. It's fear that is keeping him lazy. It's paralyzing him and keeping him from moving forward and doing the things that he knows to do, the things that he wants to do, the things that he has in his heart. He can't move forward because he's paralyzed with fear because there's a lion on the other end of that phone I can't call. There's a lion out in the streets. I can't go out there. I can't go for that interview. And so people just fall back, paralyzed on the couch with a remote control in their hands. They're just paralyzed. Fear, that's what fear does to you. It paralyzes you. But sometimes you just got to do things afraid. Sometimes you just got to do things afraid. A lot of times, if you're going to experience breakthroughs in your life, if you're going to accomplish things in life, you're going to have to face fear head on. You're going to have to just face it head on and just say, I'll do it afraid. See, again, we're not going to be controlled by our feelings. We're not going to be pushed back because of fear and temptations and all these things. We're going to press forward. We're going to press through it. And so against our feelings, against what our mind is screaming, what are we doing? We're rising up and we're going to do what we believe in our heart and not allow what our head is telling us, what people are telling us, what our feelings are telling us to back down and back up. Somebody say, I will not be pushed back. I will not back down. That's right. So that's why he says, that's why the word here, arise, also means persist. It's a persisting. I'm going to persist and press through my feelings. There's been a lot of things I've done afraid in life that, praise God, I'm not afraid of anymore. But if I didn't press through it, I'd still be afraid today. That'd probably be even worse shape, because the more you yield to fear, the more fearful you become, the more gripped by fear, the more controlled by fear you become. So you're just going to have to face things head on. And how can you do that? Because you got faith in God. You got faith in the Word. You believe the Word. Again, not only is not everything going to go good for you around you, it's not always going to feel good in life. Your flesh isn't always going to feel good. You're not always going to even have lovely thoughts, right? Just lovely, peaceful thoughts. You can have very, very fearful thoughts coming at your mind. You can have all kinds of contrary thoughts coming at your mind. You can have all kinds of terrible feelings in your flesh. But yet, your spirit rises up and you go forward. You're not controlled, manipulated, and moved by any of those things. You are controlled by what you believe. You're walking in the light of God's word that has illuminated you on the inside. Somebody say, I am an illuminated. That's right. Now let's get more illumination. Man, the world won't be able to control us. Won't be able to push us back and keep us down anymore. We can get up, arise, shine, stir up. Stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. Don't let passivity rob you of the glory. Because passivity will rob you of the glory. We're not going to back down. Arise. Stir up. Come on the scene. Become powerful. Persist. Persist. Shine. What does that mean? To become light. To be illuminated. So what's it saying there? It's saying a key to rising and shining and thus walking in the glory of God is getting in the Word of God. Get over in the Word of God. Get filled with a revelation light. Be illuminated. Walk in the light of the truth. Because you notice what it says? It says, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, is what Isaiah 60 says. Deep darkness is going to cover the earth. It's going to cover the people of the earth. Well, if light deals with illumination and understanding and knowledge, you know, you and I should be getting smarter. Yeah, brighter. Right? Brighter. I'm not just talking about a glow. Thank God you're glowing. But we need to be becoming brighter, smarter, right? Have more understanding, have more wisdom. But what's happening in the world? They're growing darker, darker. What's that talking about there? One of the things, when we're talking about darkness, we're talking about ignorance. Ignorance. And actually, when you look up the word darkness there in the Hebrew, it means ignorance. Ignorance. Foolish. Unawareness. Unawareness. Undiscerning. Misery. Destruction. Death. sorrow, wickedness. These are all definitions of spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness is, number one, ignorance. People are becoming more and more ignorant. People are getting very stupid. I mean, it's amazing. People are just becoming absolutely foolish, ignorant of some of the most basic things. You look and think, you don't get this? You can't see that? I mean, it's right in front of your face. You can't see it. Why are you acting that way? Can't you see where that's taking you? No. Why? Darkness. Darkness is covering the earth. People are becoming, what does that mean? People are becoming, deep darkness to people. People are becoming more ignorant. And we have to understand that. Because you don't understand that. You think, you know, just because the guy's got a long beard and he's a professor at the Institute of Great Thinking. And he has some knowledge about microorganisms and molecules and atoms and things like that. You know, it's amazing how dumb, how ignorant intelligent people can be. You know, they got a brain that's amazing. They can think and they can calculate, and you look at the things science has put forth and created and all the inventions and everything, and yet people are so ignorant in some of the most basic things in life. They don't know how to function. In some of the most basic things in life, they don't know how to function in a relationship. They don't know how to function in a marriage and with their children. They don't know how to function at work. They don't know how to function in life. They're so dysfunctional. And they listen to some of the most dysfunctional people that are very brainy. They have a lot of knowledge, but you can have a lot of knowledge and no wisdom. North Korea. They got a lot of knowledge, man. I can't build a bomb. Can you build a bomb? Can you build a missile that can fly over Japan? Wow! These are intelligent people. And yet, you know what I'm saying? There's something missing. There's a lot of screws that are loose. A lot of screws loose. True or false? You could see that. It's like, what are you doing? I'm going to shoot my missile over Japan. Not smart. And yet very smart. You know what I'm saying? See, they got a natural knowledge of things, but they got no wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. And wisdom is the ability to know what to do with knowledge. So when you have people with knowledge and no wisdom, they don't know what to do with the knowledge they have, and many times they use it for very destructive things. See, they have no basic understanding. We need understanding. And that's the first thing we need to pursue. That's why the Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding, right? Because the Bible says when you have understanding, knowledge comes easy. Knowledge comes easy to him who has understanding. So in all you're getting, get understanding, and then knowledge will come easy for you. You'll have answers if you have understanding. It's easy to get the knowledge when you have the understanding. But we need to get the understanding. A lot of folks have the knowledge, they do not have the understanding. And that's what's happening in our world today. It's getting darker and darker. What do you mean? People are getting more and more ignorant. More and more ignorant, more and more foolish. They're becoming more and more unaware of things, of course, unaware of God and what God's doing, thus very undiscerning. They're not sensitive to the Spirit of God. They don't discern him. People becoming more and more undiscerning concerning spiritual things. And that's what this darkness is all about. And thus it's causing misery. More and more misery. More and more destruction and death and sorrow and wickedness is increasing in the earth. And that's what it's talking about here when it's talking about deep darkness covering the people. But we're being illuminated. We're not going that way. We're becoming brighter and brighter, and we're understanding things, and we're becoming more sensitive and discerning to God. And that's what's going to make you many times look very foolish to the foolish. Because they're in such darkness, and they're so undiscerning, they don't understand you. They don't see what you're seeing. They don't understand. Now, they can't argue with success. They see that you're being successful at what you're doing, but they don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to them, and so many times they'll lash out at you. And you'll get a negative response from those that are in deep darkness. Not everybody's going to like you that's walking in deep darkness. But we're to be growing, not to be intimidated by that and be pushed back. We're to press on in. We're going to walk in the light no matter how ignorant people are and how foolish they are. And no matter what they call us and what they say about us, I'm staying in the light. I'm staying with what works. And I know this works. I know God's word works. Following him, trusting in him, putting my life in his hands, that works. People say, you need to do this and you need to do it now. No, I don't panic. That's not how I function in life. I don't function by panicking when things happen in life. I follow the Holy Spirit. I walk in the illumination of my heart. I walk in the light because I'm one with the light. It's who I am now. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So no matter how wicked it gets, not for you and I. We're not going that direction. We're walking in righteousness. We're walking in peace. We're walking in joy. Notice this over in Ephesians chapter 4. And I love this prophecy from Isaiah. As we get deeper and deeper into the last, I mean, it was pretty dark in Jesus' day. I mean, think about it. Here's Jesus. I mean, miracles, signs, wonders. He's love on legs. He's the love of God in manifestation. He's flawless. He's perfect. He has no blemishes in anything he does. Every answer is perfect, spot on. Everything he does is right on. And so he had crowds following him. They were all excited about him. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, that darkness overtakes the people. And they're yelling, crucify him. And they want to nail him to a tree. And you know, a lot of folks that were out there probably yelling, crucify, didn't even know what they were doing. They're probably just following everybody else. Well, if the high priest is saying, crucify him. And CNN is saying, and all the famous people are saying, crucify him. Right? If my favorite movie star is saying, crucify him. And my favorite singer is saying, crucify him. Well, crucify him. Crucify him, right? Yeah, crucify him. I mean, that's where people are. Just in absolute total darkness. Total ignorance. They're just reacting to everything. Because why? Because they're blind leaders of the blind. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, then they're all going to end up in a ditch. And you got a lot of blind people leading the blind in this world. So you don't want to follow the crowd, for crying out loud. That's a tweet. You don't want to follow the crowd, for crying out loud. Why? Because most of them are going towards a ditch. Why? They're blind. They're just following the blind. So we don't want to be a part of that. Don't be a part of that mess. Come on, say, what's the Spirit of God saying? What's God say about all this? What's God telling me to do? I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk in the light. I mean, Noah was the only spotlight of his day. Think about that. The whole world's full of wickedness, total darkness. People are totally, totally in the dark. They have no idea what's going on. It's really amazing, isn't it, that the animal kingdom sensed that judgment was coming. The animal kingdom sensed something's coming. Something very bad is coming. And they also had the sense, just like geese know to fly south for the summer, they knew to fly to Noah. They knew to get to Noah. So all the animals and all the creatures, everybody's making their way to Noah. They think, over here is the answer. The answer is over here. In other words, this is what God's doing. The animal kingdom picked up on what God was doing. That's how they ended up by Noah. And he just went two by two. He brought them in. While the human beings They're out there, party all day, party all night. They have no idea what's going on. And they got no one preaching to them. They got no one preaching. No one's in there preaching saying, this is what's coming. This is what's going to happen. You better repent. And they got no one preaching. They're like, hey, Noah, have a beer. And they're out there. They're just partying all day, partying all night. They have no comprehension. They have no discernment whatsoever. No discernment. The animals were more discerning than them. And Jesus, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Lord. People are becoming more and more ignorant, more and more undiscerning. But we're not following the crowd. We're not crying out loud. We're following the Lord. Huh? Yeah. Somebody say, I'm following the Lord. Notice this here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It says in verse 17, and this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Gentiles, we could say the heathen, those that don't know God. In the futility of their mind, the emptiness of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. See, we see there the darkness and the ignorance together, don't we? See? Deep darkness shall cover the earth. Ignorance will cover the people of the earth. Gross, deep ignorance. The prophet Isaiah said will be covering the people of the earth. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of the heart. So in other words, because of the hardening of the heart, now what? They are ignorant. They're ignorant. And thus they are alienated from the life of God. Because of their ignorance, it has alienated them from the life of God and has darkened them, darkened their understanding. Now they have no understanding. Verse 19, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to licentiousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, if you go back here to verse 19, we can walk this thing backwards and see the progression of how people end up in verse 18 with their understanding darkened. So verse 18, their understanding is darkened. Why? It tells you why. It says because alienated from God. But let's start here in verse 19. Let's start with uncleanness, with greediness, because that's where it starts. People getting greedy. People getting greedy and yielding to more and more uncleanness. You know, there's a lot of unclean things in this world. Folks are so entertained by it. Right? It's just normal entertainment. It's in the music. It's everywhere. Uncleanness. And people begin to pursue these things, and it makes them more and more greedy, because the more you try to gratify lust, the more lustful you become. The more lustful you become. Because lust is a fallacy. It's not reality. So people are living a fantasy. They're pursuing a fantasy. And so they pursue this lust, and by the time they get it, they just find themselves to be more lustful, because it didn't fulfill them. It emptied them. And so they actually become more empty. Well, when you become more empty, you want to fill yourself more. So then you want to fill yourself more, so you go to get more of it. And the more you get of it, the more empty you become. And the more empty you become, the more hungry you get for more of it. And so you go for more of it, and you just get into this cycle of becoming more and more empty, more and more desperate, more and more greedy, more and more in need of these unclean things. And actually, when it talks about greediness, that word can also be translated frantic searching. Frantic frantically searching to gratify their lusts. Frantic. That describes our world today. So many people frantically searching to gratify their lusts. As a result of that, they end up giving themselves over to licentiousness, which is a lawlessness. They lose their discipline. They lose their discipline. Now it's just clicking and looking and trying to get and fulfill and gratify, and they lose their discipline. They're totally in the flesh, which leads to them being past feeling. Now they lose their feelings. They lose their sensitivity to people, to life. They become dull. And they've lost their feeling, which leads us over into verse 18, the hardening of their heart. They're developing hard calluses over their heart, because they just keep pressing in it. They've lost their feeling. They just keep going. And now their hearts become harder and harder and harder, which causes them to become more and more ignorant. And this ignorance is in them. They become more and more filled with ignorance. Are you seeing this progression? They become more filled with ignorance. And then they're alienated from the life of God. Just alienated, completely cut off from the life of God. And now their understanding is darkened. Once your understanding is dark, once you lose understanding, and that's the main thing, that's the principal thing that we need in life. Once we lose our understanding, then we're just totally given over to complete ignorance, darkness, foolishness. We're vulnerable to anything the devil wants to do in our life. This is a progression of the flesh. Nobody ever plans on ending in complete darkness. Nobody ends up there. It starts with playing around and being with unclean things and being greedy. The flesh is greedy. You got to discipline the thing. If you don't discipline the thing, then you get over into licentiousness. And it just keeps progressing from there. But that's how it ends up, where the whole earth is covered with darkness and deep darkness is on the people. So he says, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That word light, when you look it up, means lightning. I like that. Because when I see that, I immediately think of Revelation chapter 4. It describes the throne of God. He says in verse 1, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I'll show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. This is describing God the best he can. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Again, this is all part of the glory of God. This is describing the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. Verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. He goes on, describes other things. But notice there, he says, from the throne proceeded lightnings. Lightnings. And the entrance of his word gives light, brings light, and gives understanding to the simple. Light and understanding comes from God. And I believe that when we position ourselves to get in the Word, to seek God, and to really know Him, not just play religion and be religious, but to really embrace and know Him, and to want to exchange ourselves for more of Him, when we put ourselves in that position, I believe God will speak to us. And when He speaks, His words are like thunder and lightning. Bible says his voice sounds like thunder and his words bring light. So what you have is a thunder and lightning storm. You have a thunder and lightning storm, man. So like right now in the spirit, is anybody getting any revelation tonight of anything? Well, if you are, then in the spirit, what they're seeing, what the demons are seeing out there, what the angels are seeing out there, is this huge thunder and lightning. So there's a cloud over this place. Lightning and thunder is proceeding from the throne of God and hitting you. When you get a revelation from God, a lightning bolt just went from the throne. That's why I believe John has seen that. I believe John has seen, he's seeing lightning and hearing thunder and voices. He's hearing stuff. Stuff's being said. Things are going forth from the throne of God. God's talking to his people. God's speaking to his church. And man, lightning is shooting out all over the places. People are getting revelation. If people stop getting revelation, stop listening for God, then the lightning stops proceeding from the throne. But as long as God's creatures are open and receiving revelation from him, lightning bolts are going out from him. This is all part of the glory of God. I want to get into that with Ezekiel. But lightning is going out from him, and it is his word. It's revelation light. So when you get a revelation from God, you've been struck with lightning. Have you ever been struck by lightning? Yeah. Sometimes it can feel like it too. It just changes everything. Well, you see, when you get struck by lightning, something dies. When you get revelation, less of you. More of him. Don't try to decrease yourself. Just let the lightnings of God's word remove you. Just remove you. Say, strike me with lightning, Jesus. Strike me with lightning, Jesus. Give me revelation. Enlighten the eyes of my... And all of a sudden, you're changed. The old man that was controlling things is dead. And now, God is living his life through you. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm arising, shining, for my lightning has come. Lightning from heaven is coming to me. Amen. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.